One of the sacred rules of medicine is that doctors cannot do research on human subjects without that person's agreement. So what happens when doctors seem close to making a product that could save thousands of lives a year? But the only way to know for sure is to test it on people who are in shock. That's the clash of values that's going on in an effort to make a breakthrough in trauma medicine. NPR's Joseph Shapiro reports.
As the chief nurse at a U.S. Army field hospital in Kosovo, Jimmy Keenan saw the victims of gunshots, landmines, and other violence every day. One unforgettable patient was a boy just 6 years old.
He was playing hide-and-seek with his friends, and he was shot by a sniper in the back. The bullet went through his liver, and the liver is a very vascular organ, and he was more probably dead than alive when he got to our combat support hospital.
The boy kept losing blood, so Keenan and the others on the trauma unit rolled up their sleeves and did something that had been done by military nurses and doctors for more than a century. They donated their own blood.
We've done whole blood transfusions since the Civil War, and it really bothered me to think that we were not able to advance in research. Here it is, 1999, and I'm still doing whole blood transfusions that they had done since Civil War times.
The boy survived, and Keenan came back to the United States. She got a job in the Washington office of a Texas senator. As part of her work, she asked, why hadn't the Army developed some kind of blood substitute? Something that could be stored for long periods of time and even in extreme heat. Something that could be used where blood was hard to get, like the battlefield. Keenan found out that the Army did want to do such research, but there was a law that said it couldn't.
I was really surprised because as a trauma nurse, that's my background, I said, this is hard to believe that we cannot fund trauma research or look for a blood substitute or test these kind of critical life-saving items that we need on the battlefield.
The ban was on testing human subjects without their consent, and there was good reason for it, like the Tuskegee syphilis experiment, in which government doctors studied the effects of advanced syphilis on a group of largely illiterate black sharecroppers and let the men die without treatment. When it was reported in 1972, Congress passed restrictions on such research. But over time, many scientists worried that the law had gone too far. One reason was that it slowed down some important research, like on a blood substitute. It would have to be tested in the field on the victims of car accidents, stabbings, and shootings, people in shock who could not volunteer. Keenan pushed for change, and 2 years ago, Congress let military researchers do such studies with tight safeguards. The government had already made the same kind of exceptions for university and private researchers, like Dr. Stephen Gould. He runs a company called Northfield Laboratories, and it spent decades developing a blood substitute, or more accurately, a red cell substitute, called polyheme.
And the process begins by lysing or cracking the cells. Actually, we destroy the cell to try and harvest the hemoglobin protein which exists inside the cell. It's the active ingredient in the red blood cell that carries the oxygen.
Gould's company got special government approval to test it. And since the start of the year, ambulance crews in four cities have started giving it to accident victims. Dr. Ernest Moore is chief of trauma surgery at Denver Health Medical Center.
I have been involved in clinical trials for virtually full time for 26 years at our institution and have never seen anything that has the promise of this.
Before the trial started in Denver, Moore and other doctors at the hospital held weeks of public meetings.
We then went out into the community and met with every neighborhood health gathering we could find. It consisted of meetings of half a dozen individuals in some communities to several hundred in others.
That's part of a compromise created by the government. If a researcher wants to experiment on people who can't give their permission, then the researcher must first convince the public that the test is worth doing and get something called community consent. In the blood substitute trial, there's a way for any individual to opt out of the experiment, although perhaps not a very practical one. In Denver, people can choose to wear a blue plastic bracelet that says they don't want to be in the experiment in case one day they get into some severe accident. Not everyone agrees that even these well-intentioned steps do enough to protect someone in shock.
Well, at that point, they're totally out of it. Simply, things are done to them. They're not volunteers, and they're not consenting. they're non-consenting human subjects.
Vera Sharov runs a patient lobby called the Alliance for Human Research Protection. And she says scientists should never compromise a basic human right, like using people for testing, without their agreement.
This is experimental. That's the problem. And experimental means it involves risks. In this case, we're talking usually life and death.
She points out that an earlier experiment with another company's blood substitute went horribly wrong. Test patients died of organ failure, and the study was stopped abruptly. Officials at Northfield Laboratories say their product works differently. It's already been tested on 171 trauma patients in hospitals without the problems of the earlier blood substitute, and it increased survival rates, too. Mary Faith Marshall is a bioethicist at the University of Kansas. She says work on a blood substitute shows that sometimes there is a need to make exceptions, even to first rules about research.
This is not Sunday school ethics of the sort where there's good or bad or right or wrong, and that's clear cut. To not try and advance our knowledge in a slow, thoughtful, careful way would be perhaps a bigger moral crime, if you will, or moral problem.
Right now, four hospitals in Denver, Chicago, Memphis, and Wilmington are testing the red cell substitute on trauma victims. About 20 hospitals are expected to join by the end of the year. But there's one place where the experiment is not being conducted, some place where it might help the most, in Iraq. Lieutenant Colonel Jimmy Keenan is now the commander of the Army's field medical training site in San Antonio. And she's heard that medics in Iraq still roll up their sleeves to give blood. Keenan says that without a blood substitute, the military has been forced to try other things, like finding better ways to store blood in battlefield surgical units.
We have portable refrigerators that plug into our Humvees. There's a new product that was developed that almost looks like one of those thermal lunch boxes, but it's much better than that, that can store blood at extreme temperatures.
But Keenan says those are hardly an answer. They can store only a small amount of blood, even less than one wounded soldier might need in the crucial first hour after being wounded. The company that makes the blood substitute says the Department of Defense does want to test it in Iraq and that it's trying to work out the details of expanding the study to the battlefield. Joseph Shapiro, NPR News.